You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
You guys have done a great job for Bison Nation throughout the years here. Great to be on with you.
Last time you had me on, I told you guys were the best in the business, and I really mean that. Your coverage of Bison basketball is always top-notch, and the players, the coaches, the fans, we all appreciate it.
I mean, I think you and your staff now have done an amazing job with the Bison Report. Again, I think it gives NDSU fans an outlet to go to for good football coverage, elite basketball coverage, and everything recruiting.
You know, I really appreciate you guys, Bison Report, for what you guys do for Bison football.
Here's your host and publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglow.
What is up, Bison fans, and welcome for the first time in quite a while to the second episode of Bison Report Radio in a week. It's exciting to have a two-show week. Used to be kind of commonplace, but as has been mentioned, ad nauseum, life a little bit different for your publisher and host, Ross Uglum. I am he is me, Mr. Ross Uglum, publisher of Bison Report for 24/7 Sports. Joining me today, got a jam-packed show with Trevor Gebhardt, number 3 in your program, but number 1 in your heart, as well as North Dakota State men's basketball analyst Nate Zastrow. Nate's going to come on and chat all things Grand Canyon, all things San Jose State, as well as Trev kind of breaking down the MVFC discussion, my personal ballot. We haven't seen the All-Valley team yet, but just kind of a few discussion points from that, and then we'll preview Drake. And we understand, obviously, folks, that you preview a game where one side is almost a 40-point favorite. There's not that much previewing to do, and that's why we've decided to throw some other stuff in there. That's why we talked about Thanksgiving food on the last show. That's why we're talking about the All-Valley ballot on this show. We are doing what we can to make this interesting, even though, as I mentioned, NDSU, pert near, a 40-point favorite tomorrow. You'll be getting this on Friday. So, again, exciting show coming up. Some really big games coming up, though, for NDSU basketball. We don't have to sugarcoat anything as far as that's concerned. These next four games are going to be super, super fun, and a good gauge of, I think, where they're at too. And if they can snag, one of these next four D1s or two of these next four D1s, that's going to be a big deal moving forward. Because as we mentioned, maybe not the high major schedule that we've had, but some really, really, really interesting mid-major contests. And we certainly saw one with Western Michigan. We saw one with Montana. And what we've got going on here with San Jose State, Portland, Illinois State, Southern Illinois, et cetera, some really, really good upper Midwest mid-major basketball coming up. So let's try and get our boy Nate Zastrow on the horn right now. Okay, joining us now, North Dakota State men's basketball analyst Nate Zastrow. Nate, how are we doing?
Doing well. Driving back from a vacation in Florida. I'm looking forward to getting back to some hoops and some Bison hoops. They're playing pretty well right now and ready to get after it after the break.
Yeah, that's a manly vacation, too. That was a Griswold vacation. You drove from Wisconsin to Florida like a champion.
Yeah, I actually gave my wife a little break right now to get me to Louisville, and then I'm going to try to truck it all the way home and get home around midnight. So,
what a champion. To do that with kids in the car is some real psychotic stuff, and I applaud you for it. Grand Canyon tomorrow.
Give him an iPad.
Yeah, I know. Grand Canyon tomorrow, ESPN BPI giving NDSU about a 10% chance of winning that game. Unbelievable atmosphere. I wonder if NDSU is not catching a break, having that game on Thanksgiving break. But it might not matter. GCU, that arena, the fans just right on top of everybody. They're a good mid-major program. They're always a threat in March. What do those guys bring as a, besides just kind of the culture of it all, what do those guys bring as a threat? What do they bring as kind of a problem to the table?
Yeah, I mean, they're the preseason pick in the, I think they're in the WAC, right?
I do believe so. I know
they're the preseason.
I know from the research that I did, just off the top of my head, I know that they are their league's favorite. I think WAC is right, but I know that they are their league's favorite.
Yeah, I know it's been, they're the preseason pick, obviously, like you just said. And New Mexico State's been kind of the team in that league the previous few years. They brought in their leading scorers, averaging 21 a game. He started his career at Kansas. I believe he had a year at DePaul, and now he's at Grand Canyon, averaging 21 a game. So he was obviously a pretty, I would guess, a highly recruited kid out of high school if he's starting his career at Kansas. Didn't get the playing time as a freshman, transferred. But they have an experienced group with the team that I believe either won the regular season or was right in there last year with, like, Utah Valley, New Mexico State. And you've seen their schedule to start the year. They got a win against San Francisco, who's been a really good team in the West Coast Conference. Who has a win against, like, DePaul. They played a really tough mid-major schedule, just like NDSU has, and I think NDSU's got a really tough two-game stretch here with Grand Canyon and San Jose. If they could somehow find a way to steal one, and I agree with you, having that game during Thanksgiving break could be a blessing in disguise, because you've heard about the atmosphere and all the different cheers and kind of tradition that they have within the game. Make it a fun atmosphere for the NDSU players, and hopefully having a younger bunch going in there kind of puts that stuff to the side and just locks in and gets ready to play.
San Jose State, everybody knows, you know, the progression of Tim Miles as he goes from North Dakota State to Colorado State and Nebraska. Some would argue incorrectly ousted at Nebraska, but has got things going. He's just a good college basketball coach. I don't know how much time you had to spend with Tim. If it was just kind of in passing, I know Saul was your primary coach there at North Dakota State, but Tim is not been back as a coach to Fargo, and that's coming up because this is a home and home. But San Jose State's been kind of difficult to gauge. They don't have any good wins, but they also don't have super embarrassing losses. As you mentioned, Abilene Christian's a good club, and then losing to Texas Tech, there's nothing for a mid-major team. There's nothing to be embarrassed about when that happens.
Yeah, and San Jose, I know they beat UC Irvine to open the year, I believe, which is usually a favorite in the Big West. I think they return a bunch of guys. I don't know if they're the pick in the Big West, but I know they're top two. San Jose State was they were the trash of the Mountain West for a few years where they barely won any games. And he came in their first year, I think he won like 16 to 18 games, and has done a really good job, and they return a lot of guys. I remember watching on their team preview, because one of my good buddies, Jared Swanson, is the director of operations out there now. And he said that they just were dealing with a couple injuries here early on in the season. I don't know if those guys are back. But it could be a good opportunity for NDSU to go in and stay on the West Coast and get used to the time zone change, and hopefully going to get one of these two.
Absolutely. No, I think any kind of a split, and we're going to talk – well, let's just talk about it right now. I don't know. The one that I'm, I guess, questioning, I think they'll be underdogs to San Jose State at home, I think. The one that I'm sort of questioning is when they are hosting Portland, if they might not be favorites. I don't know if Portland is the team that they were last year, NDSU winning that game at Portland, but I think winning that game is like 7 or 8 point underdogs. That was a game with no Grant Nelson, too. So they might be favored against Portland, but the bottom line is this is a tough stretch of basketball. I don't expect any 30-point losses. Creighton's not on this schedule. You know, Duke's not on this schedule. Kansas isn't on this schedule. But at Grand Canyon, at San Jose, versus San Jose, versus Portland, that's a tough stretch. What's a realistic goal for the next four games? Like, what can be hoped for, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, I think with two tough road games, you know, I bet they're double-digit underdogs to their next two with Grand Canyon and San Jose. But you got to treat Grand Canyon. I mean, they're still a mid-major program. You just went into Montana, and they're the preseason pick in the Big Sky, and they go in and get a win. So that should give them some confidence that they can beat a team like that on the road. And it's going to be about getting off to a good start. I mean, they got off to a great start against Montana, and it carried over, and they just kept that swagger throughout the whole game. Having two road games isn't a great start to the stretch. Like I said, if they can steal one of those two and then get back home and hopefully protect their home court.
Yeah, it'd be big time. I think you would be doing absolute jumping jacks if you could get through this thing 2-2. If you get through this thing 2-2, you're then 6-4 on the season. You're going to beat Oak Hills in a non-D1, move yourself to 7-4, and really kind of be in a much better, you know, situation to attack this Summit League schedule. I think 12-4 is on the table for NDSU in the Summit League. I really do. You look at so far, and I'm not saying that NDSU has done something like crazy, crazy impressive, but as of this exact moment, like, what is going on? What is going on with South Dakota State and Oral Roberts is just not that impressive. South Dakota State, I think, got their first Division I against Southern Miss. Oral Roberts has just not been particularly good. I don't know what else to say. Just not. I don't know what's your take. And we're future casting a little bit. We're getting maybe a little bit into the weeds, but I don't know, man. I don't know what I'm supposed to be scared of in this Summit League.
Yeah, and South Dakota State, I mean, they play a tough schedule, but, you know, they haven't gotten a win. And that carries over if you're not able to put W's in the column. And I think the realistic college basketball fans, at least ones who follow mid-major basketball, we knew there was going to be some fall-off with Oral Roberts. Like, they were picked to take second, and everyone thought they could win the league again. And, I mean, you have a new coach who, yeah, maybe if he was a Paul Mills guy, that their system stays the same. But Isaiah McBride isn't a guy that you're going to be able to build your team around and go to the NCAA tournament with. At least I don't think so. So we kind of knew there was going to be a fall off there. I hate to say it, but I've watched UND a few times, and they actually look pretty decent. And probably I think they could be one of those surprise teams in the Summit League. We all know NDSU kind of has owned them the last few years. But them and they're probably the biggest surprise, along with NDSU's been playing probably the best basketball in the Summit League right now.
I'd have to agree. You know, we mentioned after that Montana game that this was the Summit League's best win. I don't think anything else has happened to change that, and that's where I'm at right now. So, all right, we're going to head to a break here real quick. Thank you, Nate, so much, and safe travels, my friend.
Thank you. Go Bison.
This episode of the Bison Report Radio podcast is brought to you by the good folks at Gateway Chevrolet. Go and check out their new and used inventory. As we've mentioned before, four-wheel drive season is coming. There's going to be nasty roads. There's going to be ice. There's going to be sleet. There's going to be salt. There's going to be all sorts of stuff. They have an awesome selection there of Silverados, of Colorados, of Tahoes, of Suburbans, of all-wheel drive Equinoxes, all-wheel drive Traverses. They are going to get you to and from where you need to go safely. They're going to do it in a very, very respectful way. I love the good people in the sales department. Love the service guys. Have never had a bad experience at Gateway Chevrolet. Go check them out at gatewayfargo.com or right there on the I-29 frontage road. And joining us for some football discussion, as I previously mentioned, Mr. Trevor Gebhardt. Trev, buddy, how are you?
I'm doing well, Ross. This is playoff time, so always enjoyable to discuss win or go home type football.
It is. Want to give you a quick second to just discuss all things with the post that we put out on Thanksgiving morning, with everything that your boy Brock is kind of going through and stuff like that, and the progress sort of being made in their fundraiser, things of that nature, and the simple fact that we might have the wrong Jimmy Rogers. That could be on us. That could be on us. But
it is what it is. I mean, this is one of those things where. And I'll try to make this quick because obviously, my relationship with Brock is, I mean, he's my best friend, simply put. And the day he gave me that phone call, it was tough to hear. To know your friend and his spouse are going to be going through something that you never wish upon your worst enemy. And to see the type of rally and support that has come around them in such a short amount of time, from diagnosis to her first treatment, which is going to be happening early this coming week, it's remarkable. It's not like I expected anything less. But just having those conversations and being able to be there for your buddy in ways that is a lot different than what we were used to when we wore the shoulder pads. So, I'm very grateful. I know I put that out on the Facebook page of the Bison, number one Bison Nation fans, whatever that name of that page is. It just allows you to reflect and be very, very thankful and very, as far as the season goes, it's kind of timely in that regard with Thanksgiving being yesterday. Just for everything that this community has given myself, to Brock, to Kayla, and just the way that they have been able to come through in a dire time. And feel free to reach out if you have questions in any ways to support. Kayla's sister Emily has put out a meal train. It's very similar to a GoFundMe, but you can also sign up for meals and delivery for meals if you're local to kind of the Minneapolis area, which where Kayla and Brock live. So you can certainly donate a number of ways there. And then any sort of words of encouragement, if you're the spiritual praying kind, which I am, definitely, would appreciate some of those if you can support in that manner. But if I had to put a bow on it, man, it's a lot of gratitude that I feel for the way people have came through to support them. And I can't thank all of you enough, because by and large, I bet a lot of people listening have done that. So thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Absolutely. Brock and Kayla, two individuals. And of course, we're not necessarily talking literally, but obviously, you know, they did come through before the days of NIL. So two individuals that gave a lot to North Dakota State University at an important time when we were really building this thing into what it is today. And Brock and Kayla were just a massive part of that. There are memories that I hold dear, that number 16 wrote, whether it was, everybody knows, fourth in the season against Georgia Southern in the Dome. Everybody knows the reverse pivot QB sneak against Kansas State. I mean, I could go on and on. Was not that heavy into the women's hoops when Kayla Beckin was hooping, but she hooped too. And they are two Bison through and through. They've given a lot to the fans. They've given a lot to North Dakota State University, and to see you know, some of that given back is it's tremendous. And we were fortunate enough to be a small part of that. I texted Trev and said, hey, look how many, you know, kind of look how much came in like right after we made our post. And that's sometimes people that, and I'm not trying to pump myself up here. What I'm saying to you is, like, sometimes a simple share, even if you don't have $100, somebody that, not that they necessarily weren't paying attention, but somebody might see it that didn't see it before, and they're able to give. And just by you sharing this story, you can help this family out. It doesn't necessarily need to be $5, $10, $50, $100, $500. Just raising awareness is the part that we're trying to do our part here and would ask some help on. Okay. As we've sort of said, 36-point favorites. So we want something else to talk about. Like, we will preview the Drake game, but this would be a pretty boring pod. I think our friends at Bison 1660, or maybe it was our friends at Bob 95, used to have the segment called Jeff Picks the Bison, where they would just have Culhane on and he explains that the Bison were going to win, and that was it. That was their check-in with NDSU football. We're not just going to do Jeff Picks the Bison, because Ross and Trevor are going to pick the Bison, but we're going to try and have some discussion. I don't know if you guys had a chance. We didn't actually post it, so, and I feel dumb about that. We got, you know, holiday stuff that happened, this, that, and whatever. So the podcast is out. So if you're subscribed on Spotify, if you're subscribed on Apple Podcasts, if you're subscribed on, you know, Stitcher or any of the other podcasts, like, you've gotten the pod that we did Wednesday. With that said, we didn't post it. So if you normally get it through the actual Bison Report page, you haven't seen it, but that thing got to be like an hour and 10 minutes long. We tried to pay some homage to the Benchwarmers, and we did. That thing got long and it got sort of not football-y, and that was okay. So we moved the all MVFC discussion, to this pod. And I would say, and nothing against Zach, but I would say, Trevor, you probably do more a better job just maybe because Zach and I are kind of in it, right? Like we're here.
Mm-hmm.
And you do sort of follow it from afar. So I think, and it's just sort of a part of you. Like Zach, again, I love him. He's not doing bracketology. He's not, you know, you have more of kind of the scope of sort of everything that's going on. The big talker, Cam versus Gronowski. You know, I basically said like this could be a short conversation if you really truly believe in the Pro Football Focus college grading system.
Mm-hmm.
Cam's the number one quarterback in the whole country, so he better darn be your conference quarterback. But then you look at it and like Gronowski's their number three in the country and their number two in the Valley. And this is what I'll say about the whole thing and what I said online and what I said in the post. A lot of times, and I truly believe what I said, which is if your vote is not for Cam Miller, you're wrong. You are. In my opinion, you are wrong if you are voting for a different quarterback. There's phrases that people use oftentimes when arguing about sports, and I use them. Usually I would think I'm a little more careful than some people. It's not even close. Hands down. By a mile. There's nothing by a mile. There's nothing hands down, and there's nothing not even close about this. It is close. It is close. I tried to make the statistical case that Cam was better this year. And I think you can also make the case from sort of just a high level, like right now, Cam's job is easier. Or excuse me, Gronowski's job is easier. They're asking Gronowski to do less.
So I'll just interject for a second.
That was my point. I'm done. Because by the way, people, you can read, like, I think I probably did 500 to 600 words just on this.
You broke it down phenomenally. I was impressed the way you put them in. Here's kind of the comparison. Here's the rank. Cam wins in every single category statistically, and other than just like pure, like okay, yards, touchdowns, okay, that's relative to the type of offense you're playing in. So that's just like apples and oranges. Yeah.
If you could read the newspaper in 1995, then you've got it figured out.
Right. So now here's the thing, like. Folks that are not fans of NDSU or North Dakota State that listen to this pod, Homer this, Homer that. Guy, it's not – we just call it how it is. And it's – this doesn't take anything away from Martin.
I gave South Dakota State 8 first-teamers.
Yeah, they're going to have the most because they're the best team. That's just how it works. Just because you've got a really good quarterback in Mark Gronowski who does not lose football games, who can beat you himself. Now, he's not going to go and win you and will you a championship by himself on his back. He's got the best offensive line in the country, one of the best running backs in the country, and the best running back tandem in the country, and some of the best receivers in the country. He's going to look good. He's going to look great. He has got the best defense in the country. Guys, this has nothing to do to take away from Mark Gronowski. He is a phenomenal quarterback, and if there was a draft of FCS quarterbacks around FCS, he'd be a top 3 pick, maybe even top 5. For quarterbacks, at least.
And I didn't say anything mean about him.
I know. So I think we're probably prefacing too much. I think people might get nauseated with that. We're like, yes, we get it. We know Cam's really good. All that to say, Cam is more valuable to the Bison than what Mark Gronowski is to the Jacks. And that's just the reality of it. That's, again, Cam Miller is going to take this.
Frankly, we saw it. We saw the year that he had to take off and they had Oladukin in there. They didn't miss a beat.
Yes. Yeah, I mean they got beat in the semis that year. Yeah,
I think so.
And a lot of that was because they had to go on the road for the entire playoffs, and they were making cross country trips every time. So like I think that had more to do with like getting jet lagged.
Yeah,
you know. So like and they were young. I mean, there was a lot of the guys that are still playing. And one of those being a tight end for my alma mater in Sioux Falls, Washington. So like, yeah, they're just a juggernaut. They're basically what NDSU was and what we were, quote unquote, back in my day. So again, Cam is, in my opinion, when you take into account every single factor and every single component. And again, we've referred the article a few times. If you haven't read it, go read it. Ross does a phenomenal job to break it down. And it becomes clear as day that Cam Miller is more valuable and the numbers prove it. So, I think he deserves that accolade. It'll be fun to see where he can take this team because this team will go the length that 7 takes them as far as the playoff run. So Hope he gets it. Either way, I think Cam and Gronowski will go 1-2 no matter what. I think a lot of these writers that don't pay attention to it in the format that we do, from a microscope, and really try to take into account what their skill set's providing as a whole for their team, they're probably, again, this has been said over and over across, I'm sure, a number of media platforms, but it's easy to take the quarterback that has the 26-27 game winning streak and they're the best team in the country. That's just kind of the easy, lazy take.
The casuals will write in Gronowski. And that's
and where, I get it. I mean,
all right. This has been enough time on this.
Right.
With that said, and I promise this is not me pandering to Jackrabbit fans, I would give, and I think it's offensive and defensive player of the year. I don't think, whatever, doesn't matter. I would give it to Isaiah Davis.
Ross, it is Isaiah Davis. Yeah, I don't even know what else. It's like right. NDSU winning this week versus Drake. It's Isaiah Davis.
And that's even me saying, that's even me saying the giving Cam the first. So what I'm trying to say is, like, just because it's a first team quarterback does not mean I'm just going to give you conference player of the year.
Right.
I'm giving it to Isaiah Davis.
Yeah, and he's the best player in the Valley.
And I don't need to get into that too deep. And I would say, too, like, in an era now where it's not just NDSU, go look there. You want to know how many 1,000-yard rushers there were in the Valley this year, Trevor?
I believe it. Well, because NDSU doesn't have their
traditional rushing attack. I held up one finger. This is a podcast. It's probably not that helpful.
Yeah, sorry. One. Ross gave me one.
And obviously, shout out Jaleel McLaughlin, who's now doing it, at the NFL level. John Crockett, Shakir Bell, you go through. I mean, the Valley has had Pierre Strong Jr.
David Johnson,
100. But people have understood that 12 really good carries from three different backs is sometimes better than 28 carries from one really good back. And I think NDSU has really embraced that. I think other teams have embraced that even. And frankly, to a point, South Dakota State has too. I mean, Amar Johnson gets run.
Starting to. Amar Johnson, I love him, man. He is a dude. I personally think they don't utilize him enough. That's just my own opinion. I think he's extremely athletic. That's a side tangent.
But like, but I can understand how you don't take Isaiah Davis off the field, right? Like, I get that.
Yeah, there's no reason to, because he's the best player in the Valley. He's one of the best running backs in the country. I mean, I don't know how you justify it when you're riding your horses, but
somebody anyway. Get him some, can we get him some NIL money? Can we get him in the portal? Is that tampering? Did I just tamper?
You just tampered on a pod for a guy in Brookings that he listens to this, which he's not, he'd be like, you gotta be kidding me.
Yeah, no chance.
Where's Jay? Let's call him.
Oh, who's a kid? Logan Backhouse listens. Shout out to Logan.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Okay, so I gave my defensive player of the year to Wiz. Wiz, by the way, Wiz is the number tied but with my guy. And I don't know why people don't love him in the way that they loved Will Anderson last year. And I'll understand, like, he's probably not your, like, Bosa-level prospect. He's probably not your Myles Garrett level prospect, but Latu from UCLA is so nasty. And I really, really, really enjoy watching him work week in and week out. And the reason that I am bringing up Latu at 6'5", 265 and an absolute certified animal is that he is tied with Cole Wisniewski as the number one graded college football player in Division I on either side of the ball. There's not an offensive player with a grade higher than either of those guys, and they have the exact same grade.
Wow.
Excuse me. With that said, I have a problem then. And I'm not just going off of PFF grades. I'm not. I know people probably even could have read what I wrote about the all-conference team and how many of their stats I used and stuff like that, and maybe drawn that conclusion. But just the basic idiot stats. Nobody else in the Valley has five picks. They just don't. Mm-hmm. I think that 75-yard touchdown return where he weaved through everybody like that, to me, that was his MVFC Defensive Player of the Year moment. And he's just the best defensive player in the league. And I will say one thing to kind of, and it's unfortunate. You want to make a case for how good Cole Wisniewski is? Turn on the UND tape.
Oh, man.
He goes out on the first series.
Yeah.
He goes out on the first series, and it is all bad. Anyway, I just thought that Cole not being and again, we – Zach and I made it very clear, and I want to make it very clear again. This is not an anti-Logan Kopp take. But Cole is the best defensive player on the Bison. And so if the Bison are going to have one Buck Buchanan Award finalist, it's Cole. And I would give him – over any of the rest of the guys in this league, and that includes Stallbird, that includes Trevier, that includes Christian Boyd from UNI, who I love, that includes Mogensen, it includes Bohannik, it includes all those guys. Even Miles Harden, who didn't have quite the season he did last year. Wiz, NDSU fan or not, just had the best season.
Well, especially when you look at it from a perspective of, is he a Sunday player? And you know, Wiz is a Sunday player.
Yeah.
So, it becomes easy to kind of feed the train of thought when you kind of come at it from that angle. But I think this goes back to another thing, too, of a lot of the times, like back in my day, so I'm an old head talking here.
Back in my days, and just one show, by the way.
Yes, I'm trying to give a frame of reference because I know how people who are not Bison fans can perceive this. The only individual award that NDSU got that I can recall on a national scale was Kyle winning the Buck Buchanan my senior year. Outside of that, maybe Brock got Offensive Player of the Year 1 year in 2013 for the Valley.
Well, you're even talking about the Valley. Yeah, that's true.
And so I don't recall a lot of guys getting those type of awards. Maybe I don't even know if like Marcus won Defensive Player of the Year.
No, he didn't.
The way I'm looking at this is like sometimes when you have teams that are so complete like a South Dakota State, they're not necessarily going to clean sweep the individual awards like you would expect, like NDSU you would expect back then. That didn't happen.
Yeah.
And a lot of times it comes from those teams that are like kind of in that second, third, maybe even fourth place Valley team that got dudes that just carry their team to a new level that they otherwise wouldn't be at if that player wasn't there. And I do foresee that being like a guy like Wiz. And the reference that you had that I was going to say too was the UND game.
Yeah.
That's all you got to really say. And he provides such an intangible component too. He's such a smart football player. Smart football player, man.
He's a 4-0 kid too.
Yeah. I mean, did he win the Elite 90? Last year?
He has, and he's up for some other academic deal as well.
I was going to say, for those that don't know, the Elite 90 is when you go to a national championship event. This is for any event across any NCAA-sanctioned activity. It can be tennis, golf, cross-country, football, et cetera. The player that has the highest GPA that is participating in the championship event wins the Elite 90 award. Guys like Carson Wentz won this. And I think NDSU's won it almost every year that they've been. Daniel Polanski won it 1 year. Shout out to my guy. He was a walk-on wide receiver. I took a picture of it when he won it because they had a Penn State logo for his like face when they said, hey, here's Daniel Polanski, the Elite 90 winner.
That's fine.
But if Cole Wisniewski won that, he's obviously a very smart individual, obviously the smartest on the field. If he's won that. So, when does this thing get announced?
What's that?
The players of the year?
Is that already out? I don't know. I need to go back and look at that because I don't know if it's after Thanksgiving. It must be because it's Friday at 5. So it ain't going to happen before the first round of the playoffs. It must be. And I was looking back at when I published my Valley deals. It was usually after Thanksgiving weekend because I'm not usually working the Monday after the regular.
Yeah, you check out because it's the bye week.
We're not really playing, so
yeah,
interesting, interesting developments all around. One thing that I and Zach and I talked about a little bit about this on Wednesday. Really impressed with Dylan Hendricks. I thought he was playing well, and he's not having a Braden Thomas or a Derek Tuska type year, but. You go and look at the pressure stats and how consistent he's been. And then his overall grade was number one in the Valley. I don't know that I would have him as the top defensive end in the Valley, but for me, he was top two. I mean, I gave Cade Trevier from South Dakota State a nod as well, and then paid a lot of respect to one other edge rusher, in that piece. But for Dylan to be the number one defensive lineman, actually, from a grading perspective, just shows you his consistency from play to play. Linebacker who got, you know, dropped down to defensive end, I believe it was like in a car accident, had a neck injury. You see the cowboy collar, the perseverance and the commitment to the program. And just, you know, it's something that you like to see in this day and age of the portal. And that's not why I put him on there, but in this day and age of the portal, we just wanted to put some respect on Dylan Hendricks' name.
Well, especially to make a playoff run, we've talked about this a number of different times throughout this season specifically, and we've called out a few guys on the defensive line, not in a bad way, but just kind of discussing what their season has entailed and what they've been able to accomplish. And he's another guy that's going to have to continue to play well throughout the playoffs in order for this thing to go. I mean, we talk about seven, and that being Cam, of course, carrying this team to the promised land, the defensive line is going to be just as much as important, if not more, because you've got to get pressure on the quarterback in these type of games. So the play of the cowboy collar is going to be huge. Side note question, just because I don't know, he's technically listed as a senior. What could he be listed as? Is he going to play more? You know,
I think so. He wasn't. I
would assume so.
Yeah, he didn't he didn't do the thing. So,
okay, cool. Yeah. That's a good sign, I guess. Yep.
One more thing. And this is narrow casting. I saw it, guys. I did. The complaint about the Mason McCormick of it all. Mason, I'm 90% sure. Made the team last year, my team last year, I think. And I almost probably agree that he's one of the two best guards in the Valley. Caught some flack. By the way, I had a typo, so this is my own fault. People are like, hey, the Bison Report guy's an idiot. He thinks Gus Miller and Tucker Large play for South Dakota. My bad. I try when I write stuff to keep it uniform. And so I try to make decisions on, and this is like minor, but it's like a writer's nerd type thing. I don't want so I know it reads vertically, but it's a slideshow. If you look at it, it says like slide. And so each position was its own slide. It reads vertically, but the way I input it is a slideshow. This is super inside baseball. But I don't want to refer to our school as North Dakota State in one and then NDSU in another. I don't want to do Northern Iowa and then UNI in another. I kind of wanted to make a choice and stick with it. Well, originally I had Gus Miller as Gus Miller South Dakota State. And then I tried to like find and replace and move everything back to SDSU. And by goofing around with my formatting, I didn't get the state. Everybody should have just ended up being SDSU or USD, because unlike Illinois State and Indiana State, there's not two of them. So I tried to like stick with whatever. And so, no, I don't think that Gus Miller and Tucker Large play for USD. I just had some formatting screw ups. Anyway,
Ross, figure it out. How about that?
The point that trying to make is it's a personal thing for me. I know it's not done by a lot of people that make these lists, especially because it's not like I have a first team nose guard and a first team three tech, or a first team left end and a first team right end, or a first team Mike and a first team Will.
Yeah.
But I do one player for each position. I don't have two left tackles on the list. And by that, by the way, I don't have two left guards. I'm sorry. The Ventrelli kid from UND was a stud. And he's potentially a Sunday guy. He was a tackle last year that got moved inside to guard. And he moved people against NDSU, and he moved people all year. I'm sorry, but Donnie Ventrelli had the best. And by the way, if you're going to accuse me of being biased, don't do it for UND. Because I'm 90% sure Donnie was my only UND guy on the first team. Because I only do a first team. I don't do a second team. And that's what people, you're biased. Like, well, yeah, USD didn't end up with that many guys on the team, but they would have had a lot of second team guys and you know, on down the line. If you're going to accuse me of being biased, voting for a Fighting Hawk is maybe not where you want to go with that. But I'm sorry, Ventrelli was better than McCormick this year, and Kubis was the best right guard in the conference. So Kubis got the right guard spot, and McCormick got the left guard spot. Or I'm sorry, Ventrelli got the left guard spot. Do I believe that Mason McCormick is one of the best two guards in the conference? I do, but that's just not how I have done this any year. In any year, because of course there are years like probably anyway, whatever. I'm just getting
do you hate Sioux Falls kids, Ross? Is that what it is? You must hate Sioux Falls kids. I think that's what it is.
They're the worst. anyway, okay. We're completely off the rails, but I was trying to explain the Mason McCormick of it all because he's a hell of a player. I have a ton of respect for him. And it's not like it was the easiest thing in the world for me to put a UND guy in front of him. It's not like that gave me any type of, you know, great pleasure. Anyway, okay. Drake preview. I guess what else is there to say? 36-point favorites. I don't know. I mean, I think there's value, of course, in keeping it rolling, because I would say NDSU is rolling since South Dakota State. They, you know, went into a game that some people – you know, legitimately picked you and I to win. Not you and I. You and I did not make that prediction, but they killed you and I on the road, knocked them out of the playoffs a week after putting a pretty good smacking on SIU. I guess there's value in that, right? And then there is value, I guess, in also not, you know, sneaking in there as the number eight seed and just being fed to South Dakota State again.
The biggest, yeah. I mean, the buy is the buy. I mean, I listened to the pod that you guys published the other day, and I know Zach had mentioned I do the bracketology thing, and I do dive into that pretty deeply. I've been making up my own bracket since I was 3 years old. Go talk to my father about it. He'll just roll his eyes and be like, yeah, he's been doing this since he was could even think. So yeah, I was pretty stuck on NDSU getting seated at eight if they were going to. And the bracket that I did have, I had them paired up in the first round with Drake. I sent you guys the photo of it. So I actually didn't even have NDSU seeded, but I thought if they did get it, it would be eight. I think the momentum piece of it for this team in particular is probably a blessing in disguise, because they have it rolling. They can't have that hiccup. They haven't shown anybody that they can kind of take that, you know, sideways hit, have a bunch of adversity, get down, and then come back from it. That's not to say that it's not going to happen throughout the playoffs and that they can overcome it. You got the same, very similar guys and personnel that they had against Incarnate Word when I was paralleling that to a bad game of reference in the spring season.
Sure.
Playoffs. So, like, you've got personnel that is capable of it. They just haven't shown that this group this year in 2023 has been able to do that. So the momentum piece for this group in particular, I think, is more advantageous. Then yes, getting the eight seed, getting a bye, and then winning, and then going to South Dakota State and just running into your buzzsaw unless the ball just happened to bounce your way on that particular Saturday. I think the biggest thing with this is Montana State just gets steamrolled, has to take a bye, and then gets a hot Bison team if the train keeps rolling, of course. That game will be interesting. I know we're kind of looking ahead. We can do this because we're not playing. But the goal for this particular Saturday is stay healthy, get done by halftime, keep the wheels greased, but not have to exhaust yourself for four quarters so you can go and do a dogfight and get yourself mentally prepared for an absolute dire playoff run of against just absolute machines. So, especially going on the road, it'd be different if it was at home. But I think this group in particular, get that momentum, get the wheels greased, keep them greased rather, and then let the chips fall where they may from there on out. So, yeah, I do actually kind of think for this particular group and who they've been as their identity plays to their favor a little bit.
I'm going to tell you 36 isn't enough. South Dakota State did these guys 70-7. I'm not condoning gambling. I'm not suggesting this. You know, families all across the United States have been affected. Hammer the Bison. I'm telling you right now, 36 is not enough.
Cole Payton might have 6 rushing touchdowns on Saturday. He might have 7. I don't know. He might have 8.
Credit to us, by the way. As I've mentioned, some people around here picked you and I to win that game last week.
Garbage.
credit to us for almost nailing the score prediction, though. That we're good. I were really close.
I've been on it about the last 4 weeks with the scores. I've about nailed it.
So Drake, Luke Bailey is a competent QB. They're fun to watch. It was fun to watch them against like competition. Unfortunately for Drake, NDSU isn't like competition. That's the problem. Although I will say, you want to talk tampering? Like, if we could get my boy Finn Claypool in that portal, that would be fun. Undersized edge rusher. Finn is a baller. And I know he's going against non-scholarship tackles. But, guys, if you get a chance, and I know you're getting this like less than 24 hours before the game, if you get a chance, watch some Finn Claypool. He is...
What year is he?
He would be... So Pro Football Focus says he's draft eligible in 2025. And we're kind of getting away from COVID. I'm going to guess he has 1 year left of college ball, maybe two. But he does have 1 year left.
Okay. Well, if you're listening, come to a scholarship school. Yeah.
There we go. Yeah. As you mentioned, keep everybody healthy. Get the young guys some reps. I don't know that anybody's in any danger of this, but the four-game rule doesn't count. These games don't count from an
eligibility standpoint. That's amazing. I'm so glad that they have that.
Dress 100 guys. I'm sure you can't do that for the playoffs.
You can. It's like 65. It was always a thing. I remember it.
Okay. Let's get a score prediction. Let's get the heck out of here.
62-10.
I'm with you though. I've got NDSU 56. And Drake 7, that is my prediction. Thanks, Trevor Gebhardt. Thanks, Nate Zastro. Thank our friends at Big Deck Barbecue and our sponsors at Gateway Chevrolet. Have a phenomenal weekend, everybody, and go Bison.